From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Stay where you are. Live from WGBB, 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. They are Dr. Tony.
And here we go. And that was Dr. What's your name again?
Palmer.
Oh, Palmer. Dr. Palmer. And I'm Dr. Chiffo. Dr. Anthony, rather. And we got a great show, so stay tuned.
You're looking for me to say something.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk.
Okay.
I'm going to be very quiet today.
Well, I was told in prayer, Palmer, that it's now, because of our 2-year anniversary, it's now time for us to be bold. And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to be bold.
I can't do that.
You could.
No.
Oh, Palmer.
I'm too shy. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, tell me another one.
Yeah, next thing you'll ask me to go on the radio on a regular basis.
And that was, this singing is our good friend Al Barbarino, who we love dearly. And we got a surprise for you today. Al sings our theme song. But we've got the author of our theme song here today.
Paul Val.
Oh, speaking of Al, just let me mention, he's going to be on Telecare. He's going to be on Telecare today about 3:15, tonight about 7:15, and Sunday about 8:45. So all our listeners, listen to him and let him know you heard it on Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Okay, Al, let's go.
So, Paul.
Welcome.
First of all, welcome to the program. It's
Thank
so nice
you. Thank
that,
you, Tony that and John, for having me on the program.
We're happy to have you.
And I wish you guys congratulations. Your second year, I think it was January 5th, two shows.
January 8th, yes.
Yep.
2 years, who would have thought?
Yeah,
great
years.
Show, guys. I'm honored to be on here.
Thank
me.
You. Honored to have you, and this is our 106th show.
And, mm-hmm. and you're a songwriter as well. I don't know if it's a hobby or it's not your primary occupation, but...
I call it an avocation.
You've
it's a little more than a hobby.
Several songs besides the song for our program.
Yes.
You've written other songs that really deal with a lot of the issues that are affecting America. And perhaps you tell us a little bit about your songwriting and how you've gotten into it.
And specifically, A Time in America.
Sure. I'd be glad to do that, gentlemen. Well, actually, I was into music at a very young age. I had my own band when I was like 19, 20 years old, and I thought music was going to be my career, and then I got married, and I actually had to go out and earn a living, so
okay.
I put music on the side for about 30, 40 years, and Tony and I have been in business together all that time, and as things quieted down a little, I kind of got into it again, but the thing that really got me started was the unfortunate, tragic, I should say, Columbine Massacre, which was...
That was terrible.
Yeah, one of the school shootings that was the, I guess, the biggest one at the time. And
the first of many.
The first of many. Well, there was some before that, but they were smaller, you know, one person, two. You didn't get much publicity. But that one was on the air and on TV, I think, for 2-3 months straight. And you couldn't turn the television on without hearing the talking heads giving you solutions, you know, the same things they're talking about today, you know.
With the one
control,
in Connecticut.
On guards, all of that. And you know, as all those things have their place, I was so frustrated because I felt they were missing the main cause of these problems. And to me, it was God being pushed not only out of the schools but out of society in general. And I think kind of a slow withdrawal of his blessings from this country, which has been very blessed over the years, we'll agree. And I was driving home on the expressway one day, again listening to the same story about the cutting out the guns and so forth, and I just got so frustrated I turned off the radio, and I keep a tape recorder in the car, you know, to record memos, schedules, whatever. I wasn't writing songs.
Busy
at the time.
Guy. He's a busy guy.
What's that, Tony?
You're a busy guy.
Yeah. Not as busy as you, but busy. Anyhow, I turned the tape recorder on because these thoughts kept coming into my head about what was really going on with these school shootings, and I really don't know where they were coming from because they came so fast and furious, faster than I could actually think of them.
The thoughts that you were getting.
The thoughts, yeah, right.
The Holy Spirit. That was Jesus. That was Jesus.
I believe that's one time I could say that I really, truly had no doubt I was being talked to, or the words were being fed to me, however you want to put it. And I just kept repeating. As they were fed into me, I was repeating them to this tape recorder. By the time I got home, I had about an hour and a half. If you've ever on the LIE, an hour and a half is not much time, you know. I had about an hour and a half worth of words. I said, well, great. Now, what do I do with them? And since I play the guitar and I'm into music, I had the strange thought of trying to put this into a song. I said, how could music and a song go together with such a tragedy, you know? But the music came to me, and the words, I was able to cut them down. And when it was all finished, I looked at it and said, you know, this makes some sense. It's a message, I think.
Do you still have your band?
No, my band. I was 21 years old when we disbanded that.
Well, you're
I was
only
getting
23
married.
Now.
We're young kids.
Well, I'm in a band, but not the original band.
Tell them the band you're in, and tell them who plays your music.
I'm in a band called the Black Rose Band, mm-hmm. and the leader of that band is Tito Batista, who was supposed to be here today, but he called and apologized. Something came up. He had to go upstate with his wife, and they were just running short of time, so he told me to congratulate you guys on your second year anniversary also. He's sorry he couldn't be here. But we have a band, you know, not the type of band that plays gigs every weekend, but special occasions. We may be having a few in March.
You know, in preparing for today, I listened to this song, mm-hmm. A Time in America. And, wow, those words are just terrific. Why don't we listen to it now, and then we can talk a little bit more about it later. Trevor?
Okay, fine.
We're going to listen to A Time in America. Listeners, listen carefully to these words.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
There was a time in America when kids were simply kids. Didn't need sex education or carry guns in violation of all the rules. When kids were allowed to pray and never were they led astray, religious freedom was the rule and God was still alive. A time in America, oh yeah, when kids were simply kids. There was a time in America when kids were safe in school. To carry out the rules.
There was a time in America when it was not considered odd to pledge allegiance in the classroom to one nation under God. But now, because a few protest, our children cannot pray. And so, as if to fill the void, evil comes our way.
As I was listening to the song over the past few days, it's such a sad thing that has happened. The values that we all cherish seem to just have been floating away, as if being taken away by who knows what. Mm-hmm. And the joy and the peace that we had is somehow disturbed. Yeah. By so many things, just like this incident, of course, the incident in Connecticut. It really, really is frightening.
But this song was written in 1992, I think. When was the song?
No, the Columbine shooting was in April of 1999, and I actually finished writing this in December of 99. It was recorded in the beginning of 2000. And I just want to give a word of praise to the singer, a gentleman named Brent Carter, who was a black soul singer who gained some fame with a group called the Tower of Power way back when. But I think the emotion he put into it, I think, really captured the feeling we all had.
I thought that was you.
I wish I could say it like that.
I said, that was Paul.
Well, the only part
what
of me is the speaking part. I can speak. I can't sing too well. But, you know, talking about that speaking part, I just want to point something out that I just noticed last night at about 12 o'clock, doing some research on the internet for today's show. I have a line in there that, again, I believe was given to me, okay? And just to repeat it, it says, our children cannot pray, and so as if to fill the void, evil comes our way.
Yep.
Now, I came across an appearance, a gentleman named Darryl Scott, who had two children who were victims of the Columbine shooting. His daughter, I don't know, who was pretty famous at the time. I think she was asked by one of the shooters, do you believe in God, or do you believe in prayer, or something religious? She said yes, and with that, they shot her. Mm. Okay? So this gentleman certainly has standing to talk about what he thinks caused these things. And he was called to testify before the House Judiciary Committee on May 27, 1999. And I just want to repeat a couple of, if you bear with me, a couple of things he said. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's just too long. But basically, he wrote a poem, actually, for the legislators, and they didn't expect to get this kind of answer from him. They expected things like ban guns and all this. And he said, your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You have stripped away our heritage. You have outlawed simple prayer. You now gunshots fill our classrooms and precious children die, two of his own, of course. You seek for answers everywhere and ask the question why, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need. Now, one of the things he said there which really struck me, now I had never heard this testimony back when I wrote this, I just came to my attention now. When we refute, men and women are three-part beings. We all consist of body, soul, and spirit. When we refuse to acknowledge a third part of our makeup, we create a void that allows evil. Now that word, a void that allows evil, the words that were fed to me for this song, and so as if to fill the void, evil comes our way. Is that just a coincidence that we used almost exactly the same
nothing
words?
Nothing is a coincidence, no.
Yeah, so
no.
That...
Huckabee, on television,
yeah,
when talking about Connecticut, said that he had gotten a card, and on the front face of the card it said, "Jesus, where were you in Newton, Connecticut?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he opened it up, and he said, "I would have been there, but I'm not allowed in the schools.
I was locked out.
I saw that
I was
show.
Locked out. Yeah,
yeah,
we
I was
saw
locked
it.
Out, yeah.
But isn't that the case today, John? Isn't it that they're doing so many commissions, so many studies, presidential commissions? Not one word is mentioned about prayer in the school by anyone. Maybe Huckabee mentioned it on his show. And
well, the religious people, the ministers and priests and others, you know, they'll mention it. But, you know, you had something else in the song, too. There was no need for sex education, started by Mary Calderon so many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And what it did was promote training on sexuality in the grammar school all the way up through high school. And mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine who was a professor at Fordham, and he said, you know, if you're really going to describe sexuality, it only takes about 2 or 3 minutes. Why do you need 12 years?
That, yeah.
You know, why do you need 12 years?
Well, that's what I was talking about, really.
Changes the values.
I didn't mean to imply that no sex education was needed.
Yeah.
I had it as a kid back in the 50s, you know.
Yeah.
But I was talking about the kind of graphic, all-inclusive type of sex
education. It really
education.
Hasn't changed, has it? I mean, it's the same education, you know?
Yeah, well...
The way it's presented has changed.
Attitude.
The way it's presented, yeah.
You're dealing
attitudes
with attitudes.
Yes.
That's what you're dealing with, and that's a problem.
But, you know, I know, look, your listeners are a specific type of audience that I'm sure all believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in the Bible, believe in prayer. But there's a lot of people out there, of course, that, you know, are Christians. They profess to believe in God, and they do. But they don't really make the connection between what's going on in this country, the pushing God out of it, and what's happening to the culture with the increase in negative values, the decrease in positive values. I just want to point something out. You know, to those who do believe in the Bible, and I happen to be one, that is the truth. There is something I came across in a book recently. Is it okay if I read something?
Sure.
From that? Yeah, okay. This is from the... Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. And it says, "One night the Lord appeared to Solomon and told him, 'If my people will humble themselves and pray and search for me and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.'" Over heal their land, which I think is exactly what's happening in this country. I think, and I know a lot of people don't believe this, but I feel God is slowly withdrawing his blessing from this country, and this is what's allowing the values to go much more
negative.
Well, you
know, I don't think it's as bad as that. I do think that there are so many people who really truly believe in God and really try to do their best to be close to him. That's what our show tries to promote, that you would stop turning your back on God.
Mm-hmm.
And open your heart so he can have a personal, intimate relationship with you. If you don't have that, you're just an empty gong.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Talking to the mic.
Oh, talking to the mic. Okay.
I'm playing John Palmer.
You mean all my words are wasted up
there?
No,
they weren't wasted. It wasn't picking up loud enough. But I'm just being a Palmer.
Well, thank God there are still many, many people in this country that do believe in God and believe in prayer. But there's probably an equal number of forces. This country, as we found out from the recent election, is pretty evenly split. 50% one side, 50% the other side. People who are trying to push God out of not just the schools, but out of the culture. You know, you have problems at Christmas time. We had some extremely negative Supreme Court decisions back, starting in 1962 and 63. And I did some research on that as to things that have happened since that time, which I'd like to go into a little.
Sure.
As far as values, let's go a little more into it after we play the next song, which gets into values, if you would. But I just want to point out what I think is amazing, what I found last night. I mean, I was into this in a really big way when it, you know, in 2000, when Columbine first happened, up till about 2005. I was interviewed twice on a cable TV show called Making a Difference, which I don't know if it's on the air anymore. But
you were also on this station.
I was also interviewed by WGBB back in 2000, 2001, yeah. I think it was, right?
Yep.
I don't know who the people were here, but you guys look familiar. You weren't here that night, though. Anyhow, at the time in 2005 when I was interviewed, I kind of reviewed the interview I had. And we're talking about how many school shootings there were from the Columbine 1999 to 2005, and I think there were 19 incidences in that 6-year period. Okay, and I had made the point that I'm afraid that's not the end of it, and I just did some research. And we're being filmed here today, I made a little short up. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. But just to show you the school attacks, now, mind you, the first Supreme Court decisions outlawing prayer in school came in 1962 and 63, and I got them marked here in pink, I guess you would call it. But I broke this down to 10-year periods. From 1935 to 1944, which is as far back as the information I could get, there were no incidents of school shootings, there were no deaths. The next 10-year period, 1945 to 54, again, no incidences, no deaths. 1955 to 1964, zero and zero again. Now, after the Supreme Court decision in 62 and 63, just a couple of years later, it started. In the 10-year period from 1965 to 74, we had 3 school attacks, and 20 kids were killed in that 10-year period. The next 10-year period, 75 to 84, there were 7 attacks, and 16 kids died. 85 to 94, there were 23 attacks. Notice the trend line, 3, 7, 23, 35 students killed. 1995 to 2004, it jumped from 23 to 30 attacks, 61 students killed. 2005 up till the end of 2012, there were 63 incidences and 142 students killed. This trend line is all up, and it's very, very scary.
What you're saying, just so I can spell this out. What I'm saying, just so I could spell it out to the audience, or what you're saying, rather, is that before prayer was outlawed in school in 1962, there were no instances of school violence.
That's correct.
As in a year or two after it was banned in school, all heck broke loose and it started. And today
started slowly, but I have to point out there were started slowly and it started increasing. Then there was another Supreme Court decision in 1985, and that particular one outlawed 1 minute of silent prayer or meditation, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And from there, the next 10-year period jumped from 7 to 23 incidents with double the number being killed. Then there was another Supreme Court decision in 1992, which, I have to read my small writing here, gentlemen, in which they disallowed prayer at graduations. Am I close enough to the mic?
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
They disallowed prayer in graduations, and that 10-year period, the instances jumped up to 30 and double the number of deaths again. And then as recently as 2000, there was another decision that there could be no student-led prayer. Even voluntary student-led prayer was outlawed. And now the attacks doubled again to 63 and 142. Now, I don't know, cause and effect? In my mind, yes. In many people's mind, they think no. But I just present the facts, and, you know, people can make their own decisions on it.
But the facts are clear.
But the way this thing is accelerating, we have a scary future ahead of us. And hey, I'm the father of, the grandfather of seven grandchildren in the public schools. And I got to tell you, I'm worried about them. I see some things being done. They did put a ban on assault weapons, which, incidentally, I'm an ex-hunter, I'm a gun owner, and but I agree with the ban on assault weapons. I don't see any need, any reason why any people need these type of weapons for hunting or anything. It's something that could be done immediately. It looks like we're doing something. Is it going to be very effective? I don't think so.
Well, I think you're really pointing to the real problem. Mm-hmm. Are those Supreme Court decisions that cut God out of school.
Exactly.
They're just not allowed there. And it's really a minority that objected to the use of God and prayer in the school.
Yeah. They did more than cut him out. They locked him out. They locked him out of the schools. And Paul's study is fantastic. It shows a picture of what's going on. That's a good study, Paul.
Yeah. That amazed me. As much as I've been into it, I didn't realize the way it was accelerating. It's really, that keeps accelerating that way. I mean, we have a major problem now after what happened in Connecticut, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Well, it's basically the same problem, but it's just becoming more self-evident.
Worse and worse. Just we're not addressing the cause of it.
Well, guns are one thing, but the values in our society that have been worn down by attacks by the courts and by legislation and by people who are minorities really has closed down God. And
absolutely.
You look at our churches. When I go to church on Sunday a number of years ago, they were filled. Now, maybe two-thirds.
Right.
I know, that's true.
And the discouraging part is that the church is filled with about, on regular Sundays, 30% male and the rest are all female.
Yeah.
So the men are just walking away.
Not that many young people, unfortunately.
And not that many young people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were other things that did happen. The blue laws changed so that stores could be open on Sunday.
Yeah. That's
so people go to another church on Sunday, they spend their money. And,
good point, John.
Yeah. And you have all of your sports on Sunday mornings, which used to be family time in church.
Right. Mm-hmm. Little League.
So that people squeeze in church on a late Saturday night or maybe a late Sunday night.
Little League, soccer. They all have Sunday happenings, Sunday games.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of my pet peeves. The commercialism in this country has overtaken everything. It's overtaken Sunday. As Tony knows, and I think you know, John, I wrote a song about Thanksgiving because I feel Thanksgiving is disappearing in the commercialism of Christmas, which that wasn't the true meaning of Christmas, of course, but it's become overcome by
commercialism. You wrote another song called A Father's Dream, and maybe, Trevor, we could put that on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it'll just reinforce what you're saying.
Can I say one thing before you play that song?
Sure.
I'd like to. Or is the song starting now? I'd like you to include in your prayer petitions a gentleman named Paul Richards, who happens to be the program director of a station just down the dial,
WHLI
1100 AM. And John, I know you said last week you don't think they have dials on radios anymore. I just want you to know my Prius. I still have two dials. So.
Yeah. He knows. We have a radio in the lobby that has a dial.
And I just want to say to your listeners who are listening to The Best of Jesus every Saturday from 10 to 11, after you finish with this show, turn the dial down a little to 1100 and hear the best of lifetime hits, is what they call it. The best music from the 50s through the 80s. And Mr. Richards just had a heart attack, and he's I think he may have had a stroke, too. He's at home recuperating.
We'll keep him in prayer.
I'd like you to pray for him for a quick recovery. He's been very good to us. He's playing a lot of our music on his radio. So
he's in our petitions.
Can we try a father's dream? let's try it again.
Okay, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You
okay.
Ready for that song? Let's do it.
As I gaze into them, memories come drifting back of the times when they were young and the happy times we shared. Playing games like hide and seek, lazy days spent on the beach, listening to their childhood cares. Bedtime stories, then prayers. Pass so fast it really seems that these memories happen in a father's dreams. Pass so fast it really seems that these memories happen in a father's dreams. Flying kites and pillow fights, sharing cocoa on cold nights, wiping teardrops from their eyes, hugs and kisses when they cry.
You know, when listening to the songs, I almost have a feeling that we're just grieving the loss of what used to be. And that's fine. I can understand that we have to do that. But I can't stand grieving a loss without in some way saying, well, how do we change things? What are we going to do?
This is
ridiculous.
Yes,
Palmer. We're sitting around doing nothing, twiddling our thumbs, and losing our values and our rights
Finally,
and our liberties.
You get it, Palmer.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, we got to do something to change
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. We have to be bold. The silent majority can no longer be silent. We got
to
talk.
Yeah, but you
up.
Know, I listen to all the talk radio stations, and they're wonderful, and they talk, and they talk, and they talk, but nothing happens. That's nothing happens.
I know.
They just talk.
I know.
Glad you brought that up, John, because I've put a lot of thought into that. What could really be done? Back when this first happened, the Columbine tragedy, and I was really thinking a lot about this. I was thinking at a time of organizing a group myself to try to get prayer back into schools, and At that time, in 1962, I'm going back to now, when the Supreme Court outlawed prayer, public opinion was so against that. They wanted that change.
It's worse now.
There were so many powerful figures that wanted to change, and they couldn't change it.
Yeah, but you have to understand.
We can't change that anymore today. It's almost impossible.
There's a culture there that does not relate to what you're talking about and to what we're talking about and what Trevor talks about on his radio shows. You know, there's a whole culture doesn't even understand that God is really alive and will change the world if you just let him in.
But that's the evil culture. That's the culture that's starting to take over.
I don't give evil any voice at all.
That's a good thing.
It's just not permitted.
All right, gentlemen, instead of cursing the darkness, let's look
at
the
light.
Let's
go on and move ahead.
What do you think we can do? How can we get God back in the schools without changing the Constitution?
How about getting God back inside of people? How about opening hearts
That's what
to
you
God.
Gentlemen are doing every week.
That's
I think,
the only way.
You're doing a great job.
That's the only way. You can take our liberties away by court rules. You can throw God out of school by court rules.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things by other rules. But if God is alive in your heart, nobody can take that from you.
Absolutely.
You know, look at the people who were martyred in the past and persecuted for their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And they stood with that presence of God in them, and their lives were taken. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I understand what's happening in our country. I certainly see it. And I do pray about it. But, you know, I can pray, but I won't have time to organize people to put prayer back in school. I just don't have the time to do that. So I do my little bit. We do it here.
We do it. We evangelize, but it's all got to come from the foundation. And the foundation to build on that are family values. That's what we got to get back.
We got to get them back. That's right.
We got to start with the family values.
You know, the trouble, Tony, is it's such a different world than when we grew up. There's so many families today that are split. You know,
60% divorce rate.
Yeah.
First
of the
marriages, 84% divorce rate. Second marriages.
84%? Wow, that's incredible.
That's a psychiatrist, a psychologist.
You know, so it's really the breakup of the family because the
that's
family
one of,
has
that's
been
one of
under
the big
attack.
Problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, with the economy, a husband and wife, when they are married, sometimes, most of the time, both of them have to work to make ends meet. They don't have time for the children. They don't have time to really instill these values. And there's many single parents, because of these divorces, that really have very little time. So,
well, let's push it a little further. Let's get into the technology today. Yeah. How many young kids do you see just using their thumbs to communicate? and you know, we can laugh.
I have a five-year-old grandchild. I love him, but he's got one of these things in front of him all the time.
But that's a way
games.
Of isolating a person from the family. Yeah. And even if you look at television... there isn't a time that you can't look at television where there isn't somebody being shot, jokes are being made about sex, or people are going to bed. The values are coming out, and then the violence on television. That all affects people.
John, I don't know how much we can do about the negative values. They're so ingrained in our society. I'm thinking the only way to attack this is by trying to increase the positive values again, at least as a counterbalance. Well, and kids are in school like a good part of the day. How? Do you have suggestions, or your listeners have suggestions they can call in or write in, how we can get God back in the schools? My thoughts are we're never going to get prayer back in the classes, because it's so ingrained in us now that it shouldn't be. The population is so diverse with different religions that it would be difficult. But what about if they taught religion in the school? I don't mean just one religion, but all religions. Let kids know what the different religions are about. And what people are thinking. That would lead to more tolerance to begin with.
That's one way, but I just want to say one thing. The answer to your question, Paul, is, in my eyes, elementary. It's prayer. The Blessed Mother said, the Blessed Mother helped us get rid of communism in Russia by prayers, by praying. And her message was constantly, pray, pray. To get rid of communism.
But the Supreme Court says we can't have prayer in the schools.
But
so how
prayer
do we
will overcome that. Have it at home. Prayer will overcome that. Yes. Yes, a faith in God and prayer.
But what do you think about the possibility? And I don't think there's any constitutional law against this. What do you think about having one room in the school? I mean, they have gymnasium, they have special this and special that. One room where the different major religions can... maybe put displays in with the Christian religion, the Ten Commandments, the Bible, and kids can go maybe to pray on their own,
You have to go after your legislators and try to get it in place.
You get it from the Supreme Court. But
that's something I think can be done. And I think just kids being in contact with something religious, knowing there's religion, knowing there's people that believe in, having seen things about God, the Ten Commandments, the Torah, the Quran, whatever it is, they should learn about all these different religions. Yeah. And then at home, they get taught their own religion in detail in their churches and so forth.
See, right. I believe that people won't do anything unless it's in their self-interest
yes.
to do it.
And
they won't change anything unless there's so much pain they have to change.
Right.
That's the only time they own the changes.
About pain?
Yeah.
You know, you look at these numbers, and although we're talking maybe about 200 or 300 children that have been killed over the last 30, 40 years, doesn't seem like a lot when you're looking in relation to 9/11 being 3,000 people killed at once. But do you know how many people are affected by every one child that's killed?
I know.
Their family, the family of the
I have people
who did
in practice who said that they couldn't do anything. They had to turn it off. It was too much pain for them to handle.
I know.
It's trying times. It really is. And I think prayer is the answer. It's the foundation. It's the fundamental answer.
Well, Tony, there's no question about that, but the big question is how do you...
I'm concentrating
on the schools, but you're talking
just
about...
Just pray and put it in the hands of Jesus and let him do the work.
Okay, well, you guys are doing that, and that's good work, but you know...
You got a saint?
Yes, I do, John. And the saint is the saint of the family, Saint Joseph. By the way, Isaiah, through God, it says that... children should honor their mother and father, and the mother and father should honor their children. And children should take care of their parents when they get old. And it's a two-way street between children and parents with family values. So Saint Joseph and the Holy Family is a good example of adding family values. Our discussion of family values centers on the Holy Family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. as mentioned so many times, the most important person in our lives are our parents. And that's the foundation of family values, to our parents. The mothers and fathers shape the value of the children and their lives. These children were entrusted by God to their parents. And so it's a duty of all parents to instill family values and to bring them closer to God. Well, anyway, let's talk a little about St. Joe. Everything we know about the husband of Mary and the foster father of Jesus comes from scriptures, all in scriptures. And there were only three scriptures, I think, that depict St. Joseph and his war and his life with Jesus and Mary. We know he was a carpenter. He was humble. He was a loving husband and a devoted father to his foster child. Without question, he heeded God in his dreams. And that's how God sent angels to his dreams to tell him whatever he had to tell him and to save his family. He respected God and followed his commands. He was compassionate and caring. He actually died before Jesus' public life with Mary and Jesus close by to him. The way we all would like to leave this earth, I guess. He's the patron of the universal church, carpenters, fathers, and families and family values. Poor Joseph. Must have been a confusing situation for him. He was just about to marry Mary when he discovered that Mary was pregnant. But he knew he was not the father of the baby. So because St. Joseph was strong in the face of adversity and poverty, he did not create a great fuss concerning Mary's pregnancy. Rather, he decided he would just leave her quietly and avoid any gossip or hurt Mary's reputation. He certainly is a model of virtues and prudence, humility, strength, and fortitude. Before he could act, an angel appeared to him in his sleep and says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your bride. She's going to have a child. He's a child of God. You will name him Jesus, and he will save people from their sins." Although it was difficult for him to understand what was going on, he accepted God's will and decided to wed Mary. Even though Joseph is silent in Scripture, his actions speak to us more clearly than any recorded words. Just as Joseph resigned his own will to the will of God, so a good father walks in the path of as God sets it out for him. And that's what God does for all us parents, sets the path out for us to instill family values. The greatest gift any father can give to his children is lifelong fidelity to his marriage. Children learn about love through the mother and father's affection. They learn about prayer. They learn about honoring their mother and father. They learn about forgiveness and integrity. In short, they learn their family values, as Joseph did to Jesus. When the Romans had a cause to work out who had to pay taxes, Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem, which used to be his home. It was while they were there that Jesus was born. When Joseph realized the baby was in danger from King Herod, he took the family in safety in Egypt. Some time later, he took them to Nazareth. Again, Joseph was still looking after his family when Jesus was 12. He was lost in the temple. They spent 2 days looking for him. When they found him, Mary said, "Do you know we've been looking for you?" And he said, "Do you know I have to do my father's thing?" But they didn't argue. Mary and Joseph didn't argue. It was your fault. You took your eyes off him. You weren't watching him. They accepted that they found him and gave praise and glory. We know that Joseph was a man of faith, obedient to whatever God asked him without knowing the outcome. We also know Joseph loved Jesus. His main concern was for the safety of the child entrusted to him by God. We also know Jesus, as his son, was the most important person in his life, as well as Mary. And Mary and Joseph were very important in Jesus' life. Much later, St. Teresa of Avila, who encouraged Christians to remember Joseph in a special way, And so as late as 1933, the Pope started a new festival on May 1st each year for Joseph the Worker and the Father of Christ. Joseph is now the patron of the Universal Church, fathers, workers, social justice, and family values. We celebrate two feast days for Joseph. He's so important. March the 19th and May the 1st for Joseph the Worker. When Jesus was being crucified, he looked down from the cross and told John, one of his disciples, to look after his mother. Many say this shows that Joseph must have died and Mary had become a widow. Joseph is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, Solomon to Jacob. He's also mentioned 8 times in Matthew and 7 times in Luke and 1 in John. And that's the only thing we really know about Joseph. We're not even sure when or how he died.
I have a question for you.
Yes, please.
You've told us about St. Joseph. What is he doing about the problem that we're facing in our world today? How is he going to get involved? He's dead. Come on, he's dead.
He's looking upon us. I'm sure. Of course, I can't talk with certainty, John, but that's a good question, and I'm sure...
Well, that's a question a lot of people ask.
Yeah, but...
Where is God? He's closed out of the school. He's
I'm
closed
sure
out of everything.
God is working on it. He's waiting for us to show him. We want him. We want him with us. We want to solve these problems. We need to pray. We need to ask. We need to petition. We're God's children. He's not going to forsake us. You know, John. You taught me that.
Well, I know.
I learned so much from you all these years.
But I'm asking the question. I'm asking the question that I know our listeners. You guys have brought up a terrible problem. You brought up a void in our whole society. You brought up a black hole where all of our society can just go down the drain. And you're not offering any solutions. You're saying pray. But what good is
my
prayer?
My solution is God and prayer and sure. The Blessed Mother. Let's not forget the Blessed Mother. She's so powerful. Jesus and God never refuses Mary's request. So we need to pray and we need to petition.
Also, I think, Tony, you said something very important there, talking about family values, John. The Holy Family, St. Joseph, the Blessed Mother, and Jesus, portray the way a family should be, with love. And I really think that is the greatest family value.
That's the core.
Love that parents have to their children, and that's one of the main points of the song you just played. Love that children have to their parents, to other relatives, to the neighbors. Love and compassion is,
by the way, your
is
songs,
the most important value.
You're right, Paul, and your songs tell a story. You know what? I'm willing. Anyone that wants a copy of the song and that emails us at Listen Up 1240 to send a free copy of the Paul songs. Compliments to John Palmer. John will pay for it. I'll send it. How's that?
There you go.
Okay.
But really, in all honesty, I have such a negative feeling about what is going on in our society. Mm-hmm. And we have to find a way to lift that negativity. I'd like to pray right now.
Let's do it.
And ask Jesus, we have a terrible problem. Children are being gunned down in schools. Marriages are falling apart. Children are being aborted. People are not living up to values on their job. Our whole structure of our society is loaded up with all sorts of things that are not of you, Jesus. Not of you, God the Father, not of you, Holy Spirit. Would you help us in some way? Would you give us a direction so that we can at least know that you are actively involved in trying to change the ills in our society?
I'd like to add...
I'll say amen to that, John.
Amen, and I'd like to add that Jesus in you... mercy, in your eternal mercy, you forgive us. Forgive us for all the wrongs that we've done, and forgive us for going astray from your Father's plan. And just forgive us and send your graces down upon us, especially the United States, the most
Well, under the protection of the Blessed Mother.
Yes,
under
the protection.
I think God, Jesus, would be more inclined to forgive us if we all learned to be more thankful. And there are many people out there that are very thankful, and many people that forget the blessings we have in this country. They take for granted all the good things we have. They never bother to say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you gave to this country. And I think a lot more of that needs to be done before the society starts changing, which I hope it will.
Absolutely. And by the way, in prayer, I got that Jesus would like to take the show to another level. And today we are taking it to a level. We're being bold. We're talking about family values, and we're talking about prayer in the school. And it's a step further. With Tim, with the help of Tim and Enzo, this show is being videotaped, and it's going to be on YouTube. So we thank you, Tim, and we thank you, Enzo, for your hard work.
Thank you very much.
And
I thank you, Tony and John, for having me on the show. I feel like I'm in the company of saints when I see the high caliber of people you have on the show each week. I'm talking about the guests you usually have. I don't feel I'm in the same category, but I'm honored to be here, and I thank you both again for inviting me a second time, so I guess I wasn't too bad the first time.
I would like to pick up some prayer time, because I'm really at a loss, and I very seldom get down, but I am down here, and I don't like to have a show that's a downer when you're trying to sell something. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to sell peace and love and joy, you shouldn't be doing it by talking about all the negatives. And so, Lord, I'm just going to get out of the way and ask you, would you please, if you have words that you wish to share them now, Lord. My children, do not be afraid. Do not be downhearted. Do not feel that I don't care. Do not feel powerless. I'm alive in you, and I'm alive in many others that you do not know, from different cultures and different religions all over the world. You have no idea what my plans are for the world in which you live. All you know is what you are accustomed to, and all you can do is make sense out of your world just by your own limited human intellect. But my intellect is divine, and my plan is beyond anything you can imagine. These ills in your society are part and parcel of the work of evil. Paul said it correctly. The prayer went out, evil came in. And those who choose evil will go the way of evil. And evil right now is doing its best to distract everyone from us so that they begin to feel powerless and that they can't do anything. I simply tell each of you, remain true to the values in your heart. Make time for me each day. Don't worry about changing courts. Don't worry about trying to revolutionize your country. Work within yourself so that you can come to my kingdom of love, which dwells in you. That's where the answer is. Because once you are with me one-on-one in love, there is no power anywhere in this universe or in any other universe that can take away the power of my love in you. And then I give you children, and I give you spouses. And when you marry, yes, feelings are involved, but marriage is not about feelings. Marriage is about a decision to stay with your partner, especially when you have children. You cannot leave them around angry wolves. Know that I love you. Feel my love now in your heart. Let my love touch you. Let me lift you out of the doldrums of worry. Terrible things have happened in your world, and other terrible things will continue to happen. It's been so since time began. all those people who are mine in their hearts know that in the end my love wins out. And you really just have to hold on to that promise. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no false gods before me. The false gods of money, fame, power, etc. They don't amount to anything. You can't take them with you when you come home to me. So if there's going to be a solution, it's up to you to look within your heart and come to me in prayer. Let me open your heart. Let me touch your heart. Let me change your life. Because I will. I can do it now over the radio. I can do it when you're in the bathroom. I can do it anywhere. Just say, come in. Let me in. And I will change you. And in turn, change your world. Amen.
Amen.
Very beautiful.
Very that's beautiful. Really ending on a positive note, John.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
And I think that's what we have to do. We're going to finish with the last song, Believe in Yourself.
Forgot about that.
Another yeah. Paul Vowell.
Yeah, and Paul, we thank you for being
thank you.
Here.
Thank you so much
for coming.
Having me and playing my song.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We love you.
Thank you,
we
Jesus.
Pray for you, and we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, John. Good job.